I'd like for you to open up your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. He's so adorable. You are so good. Does everybody know him? They need to. Come on. Does everybody know you? Would you like to come up and say hello to everybody? Come on. Come on. Come on. Look at him. He's so good. Can you say hello to everybody? Where's your daddy? There he is. Where's everybody? How about me? How about me? Can you smile? What's going on? Ah, you are the funniest little guy. Look at him looking around. Can you smile? All right, back home. There you go. See your dad. Bye-bye. Oh, he is so funny. Let's open up our Bibles this morning and Gospel of Luke. And this morning, I want to continue our service, and the title of it is Jesus is a Source of Joy. And during the Advent season, I've been really speaking to you about really what Christmas is really all about. Amen. And it's really about Jesus. And so we need to know who Jesus is, and two, we have to know what he's done for us. So how many know those are the two essentials? What are they? You need to know what? Who he is, and then you need to know what? What he's done for you. Those are the essentials of Christmas. And so we've been going over the various, I've been really emphasizing who he is, because I think that needs to be really deep inside of us. And I've spoken to you about the fact that, first of all, that Jesus is light. And remember, we looked at the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And the Greek word for light is phos, P-H-O-S, and it actually means it's radiation, it's brightness. And when Jesus comes, he's coming into the world as what? As light. Amen. Light in darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5 says the light comes into the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. Amen. Let's say that together. The light comes into the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. And who's the light? Jesus. So Jesus comes into the darkness and nothing would stop him. Amen. And how many know that's not natural light, obviously? Obviously, natural light would not be able to overcome the darkness. It was a spiritual light. But him coming as light, how many know he couldn't be stopped? And the darkness could not overcome him. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I get so excited when I think about the power of that, because it is very powerful. But he not only comes as light, don't forget, he also comes as life. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was what? In him was life. And it's so important. Here, the word for life, John used just in his gospel alone 36 times. 36 times, just in that one gospel, light. And here we know the word for light is, remember what it is? How many of you remember what it is? Light. Light is what? Zoe. He comes to give you what? Zoe. He is Zoe. He comes to give you Zoe. In him was life. And that life was spiritual life. Amen? It was divine life. It was life that was very, very powerful. And nothing could stop that life. I love to think about the story of Lazarus. It's a great story. Amen? Because we know that Lazarus was dead. And how long in the grave was he? Who remembers the story? How long was he in the grave? 4 days. And Jesus comes, and he's decomposed already after 4 days of being in the grave. He has no what? He has no life, okay? The man is dead. And Jesus comes, and he says to Martha, remember the words he says to Martha? Martha said, if you were only there, you know, my brother may not have died. And Jesus says to her, And John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, remember it? I am the resurrection and I am the life. Let's say that. I am the life. Amen. Is that awesome? He who believes in me, even if he dies, what? Even if he dies, shall what? Shall live. Jesus had the power to take dead men and breathe life into them. I get excited about that. Amen. I don't know anybody else that can take a dead man and breathe life into them, spiritual life. But the whole purpose of the gospel is really, especially in the gospel of John, the whole purpose is to be clear that what? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. He is the Messiah. It's the key to the whole gospel. That's why John wrote the gospel, so that you and I might know who Jesus Christ is. Amen? But how many know the same thing is true about Christmas? It's not just about the gospel. John wanted to be clear to everybody who read his gospel that Jesus was the Son of God. But I really want to say, how many know the purpose of Christmas is what? It's the same thing. Amen? Purpose of Christmas is that what? Everyone would know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. Amen. He's not an ordinary baby, amen? He's no ordinary baby for sure. I think about how many people today are celebrating Christmas. It's kind of sad, isn't it? It's very sad. Most people today, I know today, are celebrating Christmas, and mostly it's the time to be with their family and friends. And that's good, but how many know that's not Christmas? Some people are having Christmas and it's all about Christmas lists and getting the list all, going to the store and buying everything. And hey, it's fine too, but guess what? It's what? Not the meaning of Christmas. And I want to encourage you, none of those are the meaning of Christmas. I do know that we can get tied up in them. But I really want to warn you. Don't get tied up. Christmas is really about what? Knowing who Jesus Christ is, yes? And two, is what? Not just knowing who he is, but what? Knowing what he's done for you. Amen? So don't get into all this other stuff. Know the real meaning of Christmas. I really believe that I understand the world who doesn't know Christ. They're going to get more into gift giving, right? And they're going to get more into family time and being with their friends. They're only going to get what? Further and further away from God. You all understand that, right? But think about God's people. What should happen to God's people at Christmas? You're not going to be like the rest of the world. If you understand the two things, right? You have to understand what are they? Who is Jesus? And you need to understand what? What he's done for you. If you get those two, how many know this Christmas is going to be the best Christmas you ever had? Amen. Can you see this? I see this with people. I really do. How many of you see this with people? Like, this is a reality. Like, how many know it's easy to tell the believers from the non-believers today? It's very, very evident. When I talk to a believer about Christmas who knows what Christmas is about, they're looking forward to Christmas because they know what it is. You see unbelieving people who have no understanding, they think it's about buying gifts and being with friends and family, they're just further and further away from God. Do you all understand that? Look at your own heart. Look at your own heart and say, is this Christmas like one of the most special Christmases ever? And if you were to say yes, would you also say it's because you know who Jesus Christ is? Amen? I pray that you do. I pray that everyone here does. I understand the world, but I really want to encourage you as a believer to really understand what the true meaning of Christmas is. And all God's people said. Amen. So we know that God, Jesus comes, he's light. We know he's life. John 1 also says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many of you know Jesus Christ as life, light, and he actually is what? The Word of God. Amen? Once a Christian understands that, Christmas changes. It's not just a holiday anymore. Amen? But I think the simplest way to look at Christmas, and to kind of get away from the clutter of what our society tries to make it, is really simply to look at the birth of Christ. Just a simplistic birth of Christ. And that's what I want to look at today. The announcement. If you understand the announcement, it's an awesome announcement, amen? So let's look at the announcement. Let's go from the Gospel of John to the Gospel of Luke. And let's look at the announcement. Simple. Simple announcement. And I want to look at Luke chapter 2. And I want to start with verse 8. Y'all have that? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read down to verse 12. This is the announcement about the birth of Christ. Simply. It says, and there were shepherds living, where were they living? How many of those shepherds like to live in fields? And what do they like to do? Keep watch over their flock. And when do they like to do that? At night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Wow. And they obviously were, they were what? They're terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Why? I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a what? Savior has been born to you personally. He is who? He's the Christ. He's the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning I want to look at just a simple. Get away from all the other stuff we think Christmas is about and just get back to the gospel. Simply understand the gospel. And the first thing I want to say is about that announcement. I love this part that really, how many know that divine announcement is made to simple shepherds? How many of you are shocked at that? Are you shocked at it? How many of you are shocked? Raise your hand. How many think that's the right way to do it? Really? Wow. Is that how you would do it? I mean, that's the way you would do it. Like, if you had to announce to the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the whole world, would you start with shepherds? You all would? How many of you would start with shepherds? You'd say, I'd go find all these shepherds, and I'd tell all these shepherds. How many of you would start that way? You would? One, Donna. How many of you would start a different way? Raise your hand. How many of you would go to the most important people you know? How many of you would go to the shakers of your life? How many of you would go to the people who are most influential in life? How many of you say, let's go to the religious leaders? How many of you go to political leaders? Let's get this message to the political leaders and they'll get it out. Let's get it to the religious people and they'll get it out. Let us get it to all these influential people and they'll get it out. How many of you would have done it that way? Raise your hand. You would. I know some of you would. That's why this is so shocking. He doesn't do it that way. He does he? Who does he go to? Shepherds. It kind of blows me away. He goes to shepherds. In verse 8 it says there were shepherds. And where are they living? In a field. And all they're doing is keeping watch over the flock. And it's nighttime. Wow. So when God decides to send his message out to the world, he starts with a group of shepherds. It kind of totally blows me away. But I think that the shepherds were ordinary people, wouldn't you agree? Ordinary people, would you agree? How many think shepherds are low-life people? Some of you do, yeah. And they are low-life people. Why are they low-life? Well, in the culture, they would have definitely been low-life, especially from a religious position. Why are they low-life? Because they don't go to church, correct? Do they go to temple? They do not go to the temple. They don't go to the synagogue, amen? Do they obey the Sabbath laws? Shepherds, do they obey the Sabbath laws? They don't. Why? Because they're in the fields. They're working. They don't have time to go to synagogue. They don't have time to, so let's have Sabbath out in the field. They don't have time for any of that. They're just common people far from God. Amen? Far from God. And why does he come? The reality is Jesus comes for who? Common people. Far from God. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Amen? He comes for sinful people. How many of you have been using that word? I know at Christmas it's a bad word, right? How many of you have heard Christmas and sin? A lot of people don't want to associate the two, right? But why did Jesus come? For sinful people. Don't eliminate the word sinful people. Amen? During this Christmas. We cannot. When he comes to a sinful people. And I love it. And I oftentimes wonder why. I figure that my own opinion is that the Lord really wasn't looking at the outside of a person. Would you think? He doesn't. How many know God doesn't look at the outside? The Bible says that in 1 Samuel 16:7, that actually the Lord looks at the heart. People don't look at men's heart. People look at what? They look at the outside of a person. But God doesn't look at the outside of a person. God looks at the heart. So you can be here today, you can all be looking good. You're not impressing God at all by your money or your clothes. He's not impressed at all. He could actually care less about that. What he is interested in is what? What's in your heart. Do you understand that? And I believe when he came to the shepherds, he wasn't concerned about their outside, whether they had or had not. It didn't matter to him. All he's looking at is what? The heart. I love that about Christmas. That scripture, I was thinking about that scripture in 1 Samuel 16:7. Do you all know the background to that scripture? That God does not look at the outside, but he looks at the heart. You know, how many of you know the background of that scripture? You do. Good. You know your Bible. The basis of that scripture is that Samuel is looking to anoint a king. And God says, well, I know where the king is. The king, the next king, is going to be from the family of Jesse. Go to that family. And one of those kids are going to be the next king. Who knows the name of the first son of Jesse who came? Oh, I know, you're moaning and groaning. Rack that memory. Rack your memory. Who? Peter, do you know? Who was the oldest son of Jesse? Who was the best looking, looked good, was a man of stature, he probably was tall, physically strong. Who is that young man? Who knows? What's his name? Who's got his name? Anyone know his name? Mary. You know his name, Mary? No? No? Anyone know who he is? Read your Bible. Go back and read. Who is he? Do you know who it is, Charlie? Do you know who it is? Well, who is it? Who is it? Eliab. Yeah. How many of you would have chosen Eliab? I think most of us would. Because when we're looking, what are we looking at? We're looking at the outside. I believe the church would have chosen Eliab. Oh, God would have never chosen him. But the church would. Because the church is looking for what? At the outside of people. Let me remind you. We should not have chosen Eliab either. Amen? He is not the man that God wants to anoint. Because God is not looking at his outside. The Lord is checking on the heart of the man. And that is why he comes, the shepherds. It's an awesome message for us today. But the second thing I love about this is he comes on a dark night. He sends his angels to the shepherds. And what are the shepherds doing? They're watching their sheep by what? They're watching their sheep by night. Jesus sends an angel when? Night. God sends an angel in the dark. Do you understand the significance of that? It's very, very powerful. I believe times of darkness, God does bring his light. You know, they hadn't seen an angel in 500 years. How many? 500 years. They had not seen an angel. Wow. But think about it. It's a dark night. Shepherds were around. They're all watching their sheep. And then suddenly an angel appears. Wow. I mean, you would have been afraid. Angel appears at night. Dark. I really want to say that's really the character of God. Amen? I don't think I'll ever forget when Rosemary was in the hospital and she had an operation. And after the operation, she came out and she was just in a lot of pain. And we were both all pretty, I was exhausted too, and she was overwhelmed. And we were in the room together, and as we were in the room, I just sensed a lot of darkness in the room, in the hospital. But there was this woman, her name was Grace. And as Rosemary and I were in the room, and we were kind of down and gloomy and like, we can't take much more, this woman peeps her head in into the door. she says to us, I bring you good news. I bring you good news, she says, of great joy. And she just peeps her head in. I bring you good news of great joy. So we were like, whoa. And she came in and she said, I brought some CD tapes for you. And I want you to start playing this music. And guess what kind of music she brought? Praise and worship music. So she brought her own CD player, which was kind of cool. Never had a visit like that, have you? Not only did they bring you a CD, but they brought their recorder for you. And then they said, I got some good news for you. It's going to be a great joy. Now, we are in what? Rosemary and I are in what? We're in darkness. Okay, we're hurting. And she brought that tape, and she started playing that music, and she just started singing. Rosemary and I couldn't sing. It was just too dark for us in our own souls. We were too overwhelmed by the circumstance. And she just starts putting on that music. She just starts praising God and singing the songs. And it was really, I would say for us, a moment where we actually sense the very presence of God. Have you ever had that happen in a dark moment in your life? Where God actually shows up? When you are at your lowest point, and all of a sudden he's lifting your heart, he's lifting your spirits. How many had experiences like that? Yeah. Why? It's God. Amen? How many know that's what happened that night? It's really what happened. Don't forget, they had not seen an angel in how many years? 500. Wow. But when that angel showed up, I want you to read in the dark how that angel showed up. It says it in verse 9. The angel of the Lord appeared. Tell me how he appeared. He appeared to them and what? The what? The glory of the Lord shone around them. Have you ever noticed that phrase before? How many of you noticed that phrase? The glory of the Lord shone around them. You see, the glory of the Lord really in the Bible was a term used that somehow God would supernaturally manifest himself to a group of people. And it would be a magnificent display of, and the presence of God would be magnificent. What's that called? What's it called? The Shekinah glory of God, yes. It's also called the glory of the Lord. And had the glory of the Lord shone around before? Oh, yeah. Actually, when Solomon built his temple, the Lord paid a visit to that temple. And how did everybody know that temple? Because the glory of the Lord was where? In the temple. In the Old Testament when Solomon built that temple. And so, when the people would come to the temple, what did they know? The glory of the Lord was where? In the temple. And what would happen to the people in the temple when they came to the temple? Because they sensed the glory of the Lord. They would what? They would start worshiping Him and praising Him. Why? Because they knew the presence of God was in that place. You all understand that? But something, how many know that was an awesome thing when God sent the glory of the Lord in the temple? It was awesome. But how many know He removed His glory one day? You all know that God removed His glory? He took it away. That was a horrible day. Amen? In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 10, verse 18, after the glory of God had been in the temple for years, one day God took His glory out of the temple. Y'all know that story? Can you imagine that day? The glory was there, and now God says, "My glory is leaving this house. I'm removing My glory from this temple." I mean, how devastating that was. It actually says in Ezekiel 10:18, when the glory of the Lord departed the house of God. I mean, that must have been a horrible day. Horrible day. Ezekiel watches. I believe Ezekiel spiritually must have been devastated. Would you agree? That the glory of God was now leaving the house. Anyone know the word for depart? Who knows the word for depart? When the glory of God departed. Anyone know the name of it, what they call it? Who knows? When the glory of God departs the house. The glory of God's not in the house anymore. He's not there. He's gone. Ezekiel watches Him leave. His presence is there. One day He says, "I'm leaving this house. I'm no longer showing up here." Who knows the word in Hebrew? Anybody? You know the word? Ichabod. Ichabod. You know the word, right? Ichabod, which means what? I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm leaving this house. But be careful when you use that word. Ichabod. It means the glory of God has left that house. And so the Ichabod, the glory of God, leaves the temple. 500 years before. But what happens on the birth of Christ? What happens on the birth of Christ? After 500 years of the glory of God not being sensed. The angel comes, right? And what does it say about the angel? When the angel comes, look, he comes how? He comes in the Lord, the glory of the Lord is back. Amen. Do you understand that? I don't know about you. Do you understand on that day, after all those years when the glory of God was not in that place, the angel now comes and what? The glory of the Lord is back. Do you understand that? How many know that's a great Christmas? That's more than giving gifts. That's more than let's be together with family and friends. It is the glory of the Lord is returning through the birth of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Wow. I don't know about you, but I go, thank you, Lord. How many know that's not a small thing when the glory of the Lord returns? Would you consider the glory of the Lord left a small thing? How about when the glory of the Lord returned? Would you consider that a small thing? No. How many know it's monumental? How many know history changed at that point? Life changed at that point. Amen? Why? The glory of the Lord now has returned. It is awesome. It's unbelievable. It is beautiful. It is powerful. It is monumental. I have no words to describe what that Christmas was like. But I want you to notice the message. Tell me what the message is when that angel shows up. Glory of the Lord is shining around that angel. What's the message? First words out of the angel's mouth. Do not be afraid. How many times in the Bible have you read, do not be afraid? How many?
365.
How many?
365.
365, have you counted?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. He says 365 times. Amen? Do you know the first time God said, don't be afraid? Who knows the very first time God says, do not fear? First time. Anyone know where it is? Of course it has to be where? It has to be where? Genesis. It has to be in Genesis, right? It's in every book, but how many know the first time is where? Genesis chapter 15. Burning bush. Go there. Genesis 15, 1. God is speaking to Abram. Abram has been in a major battle. Remember his nephew? Who's his nephew? Lot. Lot. The enemy has come and taken Lot and put Lot in captivity. I mean, the same thing is happening today to a lot of people. Enemies coming into their hearts and soul and putting them in captivity. And Abraham decides what? He's going to go after him. He's going to rescue Lot. I mean, he's the man for the hour. Don't you want to be one of those? I'll go. So he goes. But as he's going, he's getting what? Afraid. God shows up. And for the very first time, Genesis 15, 1, God says to him what? Do not be afraid. Isn't that awesome? How many of you need to hear that word today? How many of you are dealing with stuff and fear likes to come in? Right? You know that, right? Come on, be honest. You're not afraid? None of you are afraid? You're all doing great? None of you have any kind of fears? How many have any worries? No, none of you. Oh, some of you do. Good. Some of you, good. I want to say to you, what? Do not be afraid. Tell the person next to you, really, do not be afraid. How many heard about North Korea? Did you hear about North Korea? How many of you listening to the news? I got a word for you. What is it? Do not be afraid. Whatever happens, I want to be clear with you. Do not be afraid. But I want you to see something, because there's a pattern. How many know the pattern of God? The pattern of God is very clear. Not only does God make a proclamation, but every time he makes a proclamation, he's going to give you a reason. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? What is the reason for Abraham not to be afraid? Read your Bible. He could have been afraid, but he's not afraid. But God just doesn't say, don't be afraid. Listen, if you told people don't be afraid, how many know that doesn't hold any water? You understand that? Have you ever gone to someone who's been a life is a mess and you said to them, do not be afraid? Guess what? That word has no power to change their life. You understand that. How many of you have tried that? Listen, don't be afraid. And that's all you said. The words you said have no life. No life. Why? Why? How many of you have done this? I've done this myself. I hate to see people in fear. I go, hey, please don't be afraid. Empty, empty words. What gives them power? Read Genesis 15, 1. When God says to him, do not be afraid, now he's going to give him, with the proclamation, his pattern is not only to say, don't be afraid, but his pattern is what? To give you a reason. So give me the reason for Abraham. Read your Bible. Why Abraham does not have to be afraid. Debbie, what's it say?
I am your shield.
I, imagine this. You understand what? I, now you got a reason, right? God. Says, I am going to be your shield. And read the rest, Debbie.
Your very great reward.
Oh, I. You're going to go in battle, but I am going to be your reward. So what's the pattern that God always does? Proclamation, right? Don't be afraid. But with that, what needs to follow is what? You got to have a reason. Have you ever done this? Told people don't be afraid, but never gave them a reason? It's empty, it's dead. It has no, you will never affect that person's life. But imagine if you went to that person and said, do not be afraid, God is with you. How many know that has power? Do not be afraid, God is your shield. How many know that has power? Do not be afraid, God is going to reward you. He knows the battle you're in. He's going to hem you in before you and after you. You don't have to fear, it's a work of God. How many know that has power? Listen, don't ever say, don't be afraid, without telling people why. Your words have no power. You understand that? Amen?
Amen.
And I'll say that to you too. I will say to you, don't be afraid, but I'm going to tell you why. Because God knows everything about you. Amen? Because God knows your future. Because God has a plan for you. You do not have to be afraid. That all God's people said.
Amen.
Now tell me why. When the angel came in the glory of God, he says to them what? Do not fear. Why? Tell me why. Tell me why. Why did the angel say that? Because what? I am going to bring you what? Good news. Great news. Overwhelming news. Do you understand that? It's not bad. Imagine if he came and said, do not be afraid. I bring you bad news from God. They got a reason to be afraid. I'm here to condemn you. I'm here to send you. I'm here to judge you. You got a reason to be afraid. But he doesn't say that. What does he say? Don't be afraid what I bring you good news. And I really want to encourage you. How many know God's, when that angel came, he came with good news. The good news is what? God's going to send his only son to restore relationship with the people back to God. What's that? Good news. You're a sinful person. I know your sin. My son's going to die on the cross for you. What is that? Good news. You don't have to pay the price of your own sin. I'm paying for it. What's that? Good news. I've got a plan for your life. What's that? No, no, God's got a plan. What's that? Great news. So there's always going to be a what? A proclamation. And with the proclamation, there's always going to be a reason. Amen? And in this case, the reason is what? The angel says, I bring you good news. Now, what else does he say? What will the good news produce? He says what? Read your Bibles. This good news, the angel says, don't fear. I bring you good news for all people. And it's going to be what kind of news? It's going to produce in you what?
Joy.
What kind of joy? How about a little bit of joy? Great joy. Underline the word great joy. It's going to bring great joy. Wow. Great joy. It does produce great joy. Amen? I believe that. How many of you believe that once a person accepts the good news, and did the shepherds accept the good news? How do I know they accepted the good news? Go down to verse 20. Very simple. How do you know? It's how you always know. How do you know when a person accepts the good news? How do you know? Very simple. Verse 20. When they received the good news, tell me what they did. They glorified God. That's how you know. You want to know a believer? Two reasons. What are they? They what? They know who God is, and they know what God has done for them. And out of that comes what? If they receive it. Now, they don't have to receive it. God's not going to force anyone to receive it. They can choose not to. And a lot of people do, no doubt. But if a man or a woman receives it, what's it going to produce in them? Tell me what it's going to produce. Joy. Great joy. Well, how about if you're having a hard life? What will it produce? Great joy. Things aren't going well in your life. What will the good news produce in you? Great joy. Do you understand that? Why? This joy is chara. Joy, chara. Greek means joy. And it's a joy that God gives you where? Inside you. Can never be taken from you. You might go through a difficult time. There might be a dark hour in your life. But will the joy of the Lord ever relieve you? No. Can never leave you. Why? You got good news. Your sins are forgiven. God has a purpose for your life. Amen? He's put you on this earth. You now can have a personal relationship with him. That is rooted and grounded in you. And what will come out? Just, you already know. I don't even have to tell you. You don't even have to read your Bible. If you're a believer, what will come out of you? Great joy, praise, and worship. And all God's people said, how do you know a believer? How do you know how you know a believer? There's joy. Do you understand that? We once had a guy come to church all the time. Some of you here for a long time, maybe not. I know probably Marsha, maybe you remember. Tim, how many remember Tim Sear? Oh, you remember Tim. You remember Tim. Some of you, do you remember Tim? Some of you guys don't remember. Tim used to be here. And he was a single guy. And he was a great guy. I loved Tim. And sometimes during praise and worship, remember? He'd get a little excited. Remember Tim? And tell me what Tim would do in his excitement during praise and worship. He'd do the Tim Sear dance, I called it. He'd get out of his seat. And he'd go right up and down the aisles. And he'd, praise God, praise God, glory to God, thank you God. He'd be dancing, he'd have this, he'd be going. He'd be, remember, who remember Tim? You remember Tim? You couldn't stop Tim if you wanted to. He'd be jumping around, the joy was overflowing in him. You knew he was a follower of Christ. You knew it. I remember one day going downstairs. I guess, I don't know, somebody was offended by him. I think somebody got offended. Maybe they weren't offended, but they were like, well, you know, you don't do that in this kind of church. You know, I come from a very traditional church. You don't have that kind of joy in your life. Just not acceptable here. So I remember one day they went downstairs and they said to him, Tim, I see you going around that way. You're jumping around. You're dancing. Tim, I want to ask you, why are you so joyful? Oh, get ready. You ask a man like that, how do you know he's going to tell you? He looks at them. I was there. I was downstairs when it happened. I was once in darkness. I am now in light. What do you mean? Why am I dancing? I was held in captivity. God has freed me. What do you mean? What am I dancing about? God has freed me. I don't have to pay for my sins. I'm going to see my Savior. What do you mean? Why am I dancing? And he looks at him and says, why aren't you? Oh, he was good. I was like, preach it, brother. Do you understand that? You see, the joy of God's people is going to what? It's going to increase. Do you understand? It's going to overflow. It's how you're going to know a believer during this time of Christmas. It won't be anything on the outside. It won't be how you look or what gifts you gave. It won't be any of that. Because that's on Christmas. It's the joy God gives. Amen? And it's inside you. And it can never change. Amen? Oh, you might go around and have a good day. How many know that's not joy? That's not the joy I'm talking about. Oh, I understand people say, well, I have a lot of joy today. Really? What are you joyful about? Well, I saw my girlfriend, or we went out to dinner today, or I saw my favorite movie. Listen, I'm not talking about that joy. That joy, what? Comes and goes. You all understand that, right? And how many of you know it oftentimes comes really, really fast? You all understand that. But it also, what? It goes fast, too. Why? There's nothing holding it. There's no substance to it. It's all outward. It's not the joy God said he would give. He says what? I bring you good news. See, don't fear. I bring you good news. That's going to produce in you what? Great joy. When this world gets further and further from the Lord, I say to you, don't be afraid. Understand the good news. Amen. Know who your God is. Yes. Know what your God has done for you, and as you do, believe me, there will be a fruit of joy in you, amen? And people will look at you and say, what? Why are you so joyful? That should happen to every Christian, amen? And you say, because of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, he gives me that joy. I stand on that joy. Isn't that awesome? How many know this simple message will clarify a lot? Just get back to your Bible. Please, get back to your Bibles. So many people are going through so many things today, and I always say to people, get back to the Word. Don't forget, he is what? Let's go over there. He is light. He is life. He is the Word. You receive that good news through the Word. Amen? And that will produce joy in you when this world has none. Amen? Because it doesn't have any. It may look good, but how many know it's where? It's all on the outside. There's nothing inside that person. Amen? The joy God gives is spiritual. Amen? It's life to us. It will last forever and ever. Read the Word. Stay in the Word. It's awesome. Amen? Why don't you wish people would just read the Bible? All this other stuff we have going on, how many of you know it's just craziness? It's just craziness. Get back to the gospel, amen? What Christmas is really all about, amen? Don't let this world grab a hold of you. How many of you here today say, Pastor, this world has grabbed a hold of me. I'm actually starting to believe it's about my friends and family. I'm actually believing it's about, I got to go buy everybody gifts. Listen, you do not buy into the world system. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. If you know who Jesus is, and if you receive Jesus Christ, amen? And that will produce in you joy unspeakable. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That joy comes from God, amen? The only source of any joy that any of us will ever have. I think Christmas as a holiday. How many of you know Christmas as a holiday can never make anyone joyful? You understand that? Let me repeat it. Christmas as a holiday can make nobody joyful. Doesn't have that potential to do that. God does. But not a day set aside as a holiday. I really want to encourage you. I see so many people today. And it's sad. See, so many people don't really understand the good news. I want to say to you today, well, let me ask you something. What role, it's a very important question, what role does joy have in your life? What role does joy have in your life? What would you say? What would you say? What role does joy have in your life? I would say, well, no role, Pastor. I'm a miserable person. What role does joy have? How many say, no, it's essential. It's a byproduct of knowing who God is. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I really want to encourage you. Ask the question. But please don't walk around. How many of you know you can be going through a difficult time and still have joy? Is that not true, Charlie? Charlie, are you going through a hard time? Yes, you are. Do you still have your joy? They lost their son. Do you still have joy? Yeah. How can that be? How can that be? Because the Lord gives you joy because you know who you believe in. And you know where your son is. It's the only joy that makes any sense at all. So don't go by your circumstances and say, well, I'm not doing well. I've lost my joy. Something is wrong if you say that. You don't understand. You do not understand. You go through difficulties and you keep your joy. It's amazing, isn't it? Have you ever heard anyone, I love people, I guess. You lost your son. Oh, I called Omer Malenfant. You all know Omer, who comes in the summer. Omer says to me, Pastor, my wife's not doing good. Praise the Lord, Pastor! How could he say that? See, he has the joy of the Lord. Is what he's going through hard? Oh yeah, he'll tell you that too. But has he lost his joy? Absolutely not. He's more joyful now than he's ever been. More so. Because the life of God is being transmitted to him. And it's not based on anything that's happening in this world or to his wife or to himself. It's the source is God. And God is pouring into him joy. And he's one of the happiest people I know. But when I talk with him, I know he's a believer. I get joy in talking to him. I go, there is a believer. Because that joy is in him. Do you understand that? Don't look at your joy and say, oh, I don't have any. Things are really hard. Listen, you got to go deeper. Find out the source of your joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Get it from God and let Him give that to you as a gift. And all God's people said.
Amen.
What do you guys think? Christmas is awesome, isn't it? Don't get lost in all the other stuff around Christmas, people. You understand what Christmas is really about. Know who your Savior is. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we're just thankful for today, God, and you're so good to us. And Lord, the presentation, God, that that angel made, the glory of the Lord shone around that angel in a time where those shepherds were in darkness, but the light shone, and the darkness couldn't stop it. They received the good news. Changed their life. All of life was changed, God. I pray for that same reality here, God, among your people here. Lord, that we don't substitute or we don't just try to get by. But we know the reality of who you are, why you came, and what you've done for us, God. We lift up our hands. We'll never be ashamed to worship you or praise you, God. May your glory, God, this Christmas be strong in us. And may we tell others about it, never being ashamed, but lifting up our head and knowing, God, that you have a plan. And we're walking in that plan, God, every single day of our lives. We bless you. We thank you. And we honor you, God, today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
God bless you guys.